The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We're also streaming on video as always as well. We'll be up on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X, all that. If you want to watch the show on there as well. Plus, you can always set us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Cody's rocking his old school throwback Colorado hoodie. That's right. The Buffs are slated right now, if all things continue in the direction they're headed, to be in a Big 12 title game. You need an upgrade, new era Colorado hoodie.
I like this one fine. And also, like, you know, like the variant of like how long screen printing lasts on a shirt.
Some are better than others,
this
man.
This hoodie 4,000 times, still holding up good.
It is. Very it's not good. Peeled or
still
anything.
Still holding up pretty good.
It hasn't shrunk too much either. Everything's good.
Nah, it's like, you know, like you get like, it's, I'll be honest, for a hoodie, paper thin. Anything that's like, well, but I like sometimes like when it's like it's going to be 60 degrees, I don't want a real thick hoodie.
It's the perfect thin hoodie.
Yeah. There's nothing left on the inside. It's like wearing a t-shirt with long sleeves at this point. There's no like internal warmth provided from this hoodie.
You should just start pulling a Belichick then and just cut the sleeves, you know, a little bit, you know,
started cutting the sleeves, we'd have a conversation. I think like, what are you doing here? What are you doing?
Bill becomes the next head coach of the Chiefs somehow, you know, when he's 85 years old.
Mike Florio said that was going to happen, I think, a year ago, didn't he?
I don't remember. Mike Florio predicted something. Kansas City. Honestly, it's about that time of year. We're close, about a month away. December 1st is the official deadline. I'll punish myself on this show in some way if by December 1st, Mike Florio doesn't claim Andy Reid might retire at the end of the
year.
You'll
punish yourself.
I'll eat something gross for the show or something, you know? December 1st, Mike Florio will hint at Andy Reid's possible. By December 1st, he'll hint at Andy Reid's possible retirement.
So if he doesn't, then you did it to yourself, I guess.
It's definitely a playoff postseason, you know, playoff Super Bowl week article again that he'll be putting up on Pro Football Talk, whatever. Anyway, coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll check in with our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, to talk about what looks like the final nail in the coffin after, at one point, the Jets' win last week against the Texans could have springboarded them. It did not do that. The Jets got embarrassed this past week. The Cardinals, we'll talk about his Jets. We'll obviously talk about the Chiefs and Bills' massive showdown of 2-9-0 teams. Then Nate Taylor, our NFL insider, Chiefs insider in particular, from The Athletic, going to join us. We'll move him up a little bit to the noon hour today. He's got some other stuff going on, so Nate's going to join us a little bit earlier. That's coming up at noon. But thinking of the Bills and Chiefs, I mean, for a regular season game, it really doesn't get any bigger than this. But we've seen this time and time again. Huge Chiefs Bills regular season game.
Now, last year, those on the books.
Last year, both teams played in December, and they both had a bunch more losses. The Chiefs had 5 more losses, by the way, when they faced them in the regular season last time. The Bills had 4 more losses when they faced each other in December. That was the regular season matchup when the Chiefs lost 20-17. That was the whole, you know, Kadarius Toney offsides ruined the perfect lateral from Kelsey play.
Bring that up.
That was that game. And then we all know in the playoffs, the Chiefs got a 3-point win and moved on to the AFC title game. But yeah, I mean, there's because of the number one seed implications, that's why this one feels bigger than even last year's regular season matchup, which was at Arrowhead. This time, it's up at Highmark there in New York.
It's the single, like, regular season games for the Chiefs specifically the Chiefs, because that's important to note here. I'm sure they do for other teams. I don't know how many times we've joked about other teams playing their Super Bowls essentially against Kansas City. Although some Denver fan tried to claim that like Mahomes celebrating at the end of theirs was like Mahomes celebrating like it was a Super Bowl, like, but he wins actual Super Bowls. So that insult doesn't land. Regular season games for the Chiefs do not get bigger than this one. They can essentially narrow the playing field of number one seed potential to just two teams, one of which you will play on Christmas Day, and has an incredibly difficult schedule the rest of the way in the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team I don't think is a real threat to take the number one seed from you, and a team that you also currently have a two-game lead on anyway. So you get that. You get the hostile environment. You're in Buffalo. That's a dangerous place to play. You get the history between the two teams, everything. This is about as big of a regular season game as you can get for Kansas City, because it's the number one and number two quarterbacks in the league. It is the two best teams in the AFC in a hostile environment with number one seed implications. Barring this game being on December 30th, and it was the second to last game of the season, and it actually decided the number one seed, massive test for both of these teams to find out where they are.
Yeah, because we all know there's just a very good chance they're going to play each other again in the playoffs. And there just is. Unless each is one.
I'd be surprised, I guess, if they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if each is 1-2 and you think Baltimore still finds a way to get to an AFC title game, and so you think we don't get that. Otherwise, it feels like they're going to play each other yet again in the postseason. That's been the normal routine. It's why we've gotten to know our sister station up in Buffalo and guys like Mike Shope, and we've had them on our show. We've been on their show, both of us. I don't know, Cody, was this now 4 years in a row? Really, since we started the show, basically 5 years now. We used to do bets. We stopped doing the bets with them because they kind of started feeling bad. They had to keep sending us wings and pasta, whatever it was the last time.
It seemed like we were just tricking them into sending us free food, and it was never a two-way street.
We never sent them barbecue because the Chiefs just kept winning, and they didn't make the playoffs. When they made the bets in the playoffs, which is when we were doing them, the Chiefs obviously were always winning. Regular season, I'll admit, like, it's early in the week. I haven't come up with my final prediction how I see this game going. I love Mahomes as an underdog spot. Obviously, he's usually pretty darn good.
Yeah, the history is strong
in that spot. But I also know in the regular season, this is typically the spot where the Bills do beat the Chiefs. Like, this is the regular season game where they do get them. That's why it was so massive the Chiefs found a way to win against the Denver Broncos, because otherwise we're talking about actually flipping the number one seed. Nothing can happen on Sunday that is going to move the Chiefs out of the current number one seed. Nothing can happen, right? It can make it easier. It can make it way more interesting, but it doesn't change that because the Chiefs won. If the Chiefs would be going into this game 8-1 instead of 9-1 or 9-0, then we'd have a different conversation. Like, truly, then they would need some help almost the rest of the way. The Chiefs could lose and still not need help.
Yeah, pretty good chance. But if they, you know, I get it. Like, because someone's going to be like, well, if they win, they're still up. I was like, yeah, but that one game is truly one game. They lose and the tiebreaker belongs to the Bills, the teams that would have beaten them head to head. I also like it from the perspective of there are still people who both doubt both of these teams. And you're like, but how? They got the best records. The Chiefs are undefeated. Trust me, find yourself a national publication of any kind. You will find teams that will be like, look at how the Chiefs are winning. They're only beating these teams barely. Overtime against the Bucs with no weapons, blocked field goal against the Broncos, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I pointed out there's an entire thread from the 33rd team of all the times the Chiefs could have lost this year. And it was, you know, it's the ones like, if Isaiah Likely's toe is in, if the field goal doesn't get blocked, if all, you know, like, except, like, think about how their season, instead of 9-0, could have been essentially 0-9 in their minds, right? Which is not true. But Buffalo has also shown a lot of flaws throughout the year, but they're also doing the same thing the Chiefs are doing, which is just winning. So in a lot of ways, it feels like something's got to give. Both of these teams have done a great job at winning in spite of some of the issues that do exist on any team or for any team. And I'm curious to find out what gives inside of that matchup. Am I down on the Chiefs if they lose to the Bills in Buffalo after starting the season 9-0? Do you think I'm going to come in here on Monday and freak out if the Bills get a win on Sunday?
Yeah, you are. You're going to say it's all over.
No, I will if they lose the Bills game and then the following week lose the Panthers. I'm prepared to panic. I am prepared to panic if that's how it goes down. But it's like, if they lose to the Bills, it's a regular season game. I understand that. But this feels like, so it's, I don't know the last time, like the 49ers won because they ended up not having Christian McCaffrey and all these other things. What is the game in which you felt like I think it's probably the Ravens game is the only other game this year where I'm like, all right, where are we? Where are things? And now it's even more intriguing.
Well, that was
because
week one.
I know. But like the Ravens, I thought were one of the better teams in the league. But since then, what's the test that you're like, where are we as a unit? Now the Bills game gives you this is the Chiefs. Let's just admit it. This is essentially the Chiefs. Nothing fundamentally is changing. It is Wanye Morris and it's DeAndre Hopkins.
So I disagree a little bit there. I know
Pacheco could come back, but they have a good running game now.
I mean, I'm obviously curious how Wanye Morris holds up, and you know, knowing what we've discussed at great length yesterday, like we both agree they need to bring in some more depth at the position. But I disagree that it's like this will be the unit that's in the playoffs because Aminu's still not playing, Pacheco's still not playing, Juju, we're not 100% sure if he's back. Maybe he's back, so there's a chance he doesn't play. Yeah. Hollywood Brown, maybe he's available.
I'm just like not counting him as part of the equation
Let's throw him out. But
I
think there's still more reinforcements on the way. So I don't think this is, in fairness for Buffalo too, because Keon Coleman's not playing. We already know he's out. Their talented young rookie wide receiver is not going to play. Amari Cooper's banged up. We'll see. And my guess is he finds a way to play on Sunday. So they're not 100%. So I don't know if this is... You know, if they play in the playoffs, I don't think it'll be the exact same teams as we're seeing on Sunday. I'm not saying I'm not pumped up for the game. I definitely am. I think it's a huge game on a pretty good slate in the NFL coming up this Sunday, too.
And I got to look at, I didn't see if there was typically on Mondays, there's not updates on injuries for those guys. Dalton Kincaid, again, had left that game early, so I guess we'll see. That's actually the bigger one for the Bills, because if there's one area on the field we know that teams can take advantage of the Chiefs' defense, it is tight end. That has certainly and consistently been an ongoing theme for the entire year. And sometimes, like, I like those challenges. I like to find out if those guys just get the yardage, like has taken place so many other times, or if they're going to get the yardage and actually impact the final win on the end game of it. I'm excited. Like, this is the most excited I've been for a game since probably Cincinnati. Cincinnati, because they're the two biggest rivals in the NFL.
It's been that long. Like eight weeks, whatever it is.
I mean, no offense, but like, it's not like I didn't think Atlanta was a good game, but like, I'm like getting up for a road Atlanta game. Chargers, they always beat them. Saints, I don't care. 49ers was an interesting one. I think maybe if Christian McCaffrey, their full complement, if that was all in place, maybe I feel different. Certainly not the Raiders, certainly not the Bucs, certainly not the Broncos.
People were giving that article that you mentioned, Shefty, a hard time because he retweeted it as if he was excited. I don't know, whatever the hell you want to assume from him retweeting it.
Here's the thing I'll say about the 33rd team. Gold, you and I on Monday, I pointed out all those same things they're pointing out. I told you all the times the games could have been close. But I think people take it because it's just from a Twitter account. The 33rd is saying, like, look at you losers, you could have lost all these games. And what I'm telling you is, look at you winners. You all those things could have gone wrong and not a single thing did. Not all those things could have prevented you from winning a football game. Did they? No. All those teams screwed it up. Isaiah Likely could have just gotten his damn toe inbound. He didn't. Their guard could have not gotten his ass shoved to the ground against Denver yesterday. He did. Atlanta could have gotten a 4th-and-1. They didn't.
Yeah,
all those teams could have succeeded. The Chiefs did.
Chiefs made plays. And even if you want to take it a step further and just like, okay, so they got lucky on this or whatever. Okay, so let's say they have 2 losses. They're still 7-2 and they're tied for the best record in the AFC. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as if instead of being 9-0, Cody, they would be a 4 or 5 win team. Okay, so they'd be 7-2 or 8-1.
Even if half the time, yeah.
It's craziness, but the Chiefs are underdogs heading up to Buffalo. We'll talk a ton more about this game throughout the week, throughout the show today. Ross Tucker is going to join us tomorrow on the show. Be good to get his perspective on what he's seen from Buffalo and especially the offensive line play. I can't wait to have Ross on the show tomorrow because last year we asked him a ton about the left tackles. Now we got to go back there again and ask him what would he do with the situation and what is it about Kingsley? Like, does he think long-term Kingsley can figure this thing out? Short term, we know that's not the solution, but we'll talk to Ross about that tomorrow on the show. In the meantime, there is this offense right now in Kansas City that's just outside the top 10 now points per game because of...
I didn't check it after last night's game, but...
16-point performance. Yeah, I mean, last night was a terrible football game. Dolphins got the win. Give them credit. Their season was on the line. They found a way to beat the Rams, who just had no answer for the Dolphins front. It was actually a really impressive win, I thought, for Miami. But no, the Chiefs, we know they've been carried by their defense at times. This offense, though... How do we judge them with the competition they're going to face? The Bills are a top 10 defense.
They are.
But then they play a bunch of bad defenses.
Okay, so this is going to be a wild ride, Chiefs fans. And I thought that it was better that we just prepare you now Because I think week to week, you're going to be like, what the hell am I watching? Right now, the Chiefs are the 11th ranked offense in the NFL from a points per game perspective. They are either, for the rest of the season, going to face one of the five best defenses in the league or one of the five worst, with literally one exception. That's it. The Bills are a really good defense. They currently rank 9th. They were in the top 5 a couple of weeks ago. They're in that same range. They're one of the better defenses in the league. Panthers rank 32nd. Raiders rank 30th. The Browns are in the bottom 10. And then outside of that, they face the number 1 ranked Chargers, number 2nd ranked Steelers, number 4th ranked Broncos in points per game. I don't know how week to week we're going to be guessing about what the Chiefs offense looks like, because legitimately they either face one of the five worst defenses in the league or one of the five best.
But in a way,
it's going to be hard to get a test on them, isn't it?
Isn't that a pretty good test, though? I get to face the number one defense, the number two defense, and number four defense, and a top 10
this one
the rest of the way. And, I mean, I think that's a pretty good test.
The only mediocre one is the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, and then not to mention going back to what we were discussing, you know, 5 minutes ago, which is also what the offense is playoff time may be different. When does Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt work hand to hand? Is that going to be the Raiders game? Is that going to not be until Christmas Day or whatever against the Texans or against the Steelers? I'm sorry. Like, maybe, I don't know. That's when we'll have the full test. So I agree. We may not have the full idea of what they're going to be in the playoffs until much later in the year, but not just because of competition, just because of, are they all on the field and available? I mean, the Chiefs, if they keep winning, they're going to slow play, as they should, bringing back a Minshew, and slow play bringing back Isaiah Pacheco, because there will be no reason.
You think the more they win,
push,
the less likely those guys come back sooner?
I think you would have to, right? You would have to be a little more patient. There's nothing that's pressing. You don't want to rush anybody anyway. It's all about the postseason. But especially in a year in which I told you, if they beat Buffalo and they've got a big lead over them for the one seed, we know the Ravens' one seed conversation's over, the Texans aren't a factor in the one seed, then it would really just be the Steelers. Maybe they're playing on Christmas Day against Pittsburgh, and we're talking about being for the number one seed. I don't know. I just don't think Pittsburgh's going to, in my opinion, go the next 5 weeks and not lose a game.
I really feel like the way this is going to go is, and I can just forward predict it, so just prepare yourself for these conversations with your coworkers, with us, whatever, is for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be like, oh, Chiefs offense fixed. Problem solved. They get shootouts with the Bills all the time. The Bills are a good defense, but they're not like an elite level defense. They're susceptible to the run, right? So like, they're, for the next 3 weeks, you're going to be like, okay, offense got a little something going. Now I can feel it. Look at DeAndre Hopkins go, the rushing attack. Pacheco's getting ready to come back. And then for the rest of the season, you're going to be like, are they broken? Like, did something go wrong? Because three of the final weeks, they're going to face three of the top four scoring defenses in the league right now. And it's no longer a small sample size by NFL standards. We're halfway through the season. You have started to become what you are. Like, not firmly, not without their land. Someone's going to be like, the Broncos are the fourth best after giving up 41 to the Ravens 2 weeks ago. I'm like, yeah. Every other week, they give up 15, 16, like they did to the Chiefs. Offensively is where they're losing games, not offensive or not defensively. And so I think it's going to be a really hard test going into the postseason, where this whole story is, I think we're going to get into week one of the postseason for the Chiefs. Let's just call it the divisional round, because I don't think they're playing the wild card round right now. And you're going to be like, are they good on offense or are they just fine? Because being 11th is you're good gold, but you know, you're fine, right? You're like, you're a good offense, but you're going to be of the 14 playoff teams, the 7th or 8th best offense realistically. You know, 6th best offense realistically. Versus if they go through these defenses, they actually do score on some of these, well, I might be feeling completely different about this team in a hurry.
What are the, so that's the defense. I'm curious, out of the current playoff picture, where are the offensive ranks for some of these teams? So we know Kansas City's like 10th points per game. They would right now be the number one seed. The Baltimore Ravens are currently not leading the AFC North, right? So here are the teams. And yeah, can we go through that? Because I'm curious.
You tell me the team and I'll tell you where they're ranked points per game offensively.
The Chiefs are 11th, right?
Yep.
Okay. Bills.
They're better than Kansas City. They're third.
Third. Steelers.
They are 12th, right behind Kansas City.
Texans.
They are actually worse than you think. 17th.
Ravens. One, right?
That's the number one offense in the league.
Chargers.
That's actually one of the worst offenses in the league, I would bet.
But number one defense,
19th.
Right? Okay, 19th offense, number one defense. Broncos will be the 7th seed right now.
The Broncos are
fourth defense.
22nd ranked offense.
And then if you're right outside the Colts and Bengals, 8-9.
Yeah, those teams, Colts, again, probably have one of the worst offenses in the league. They are 18th,
Bengals probably top five still.
Yeah, Bengals are way up there. Sixth.
Okay. I'm just curious. That's offensively, because we talk about the defensive stats.
It's funny because, like, the balance lands with Buffalo. We circle right back around to, like, who are the teams that are essentially top 10 at both consistently? It's Kansas City and it's Buffalo. And if you want to extend it to the NFC, it's Detroit. Like, that, I mean, that's end of list almost. Yep. I'm not, like, being...
Well, look at, I mean, if you were to go on FanDuel and look at who has the best odds to win, some of the best odds to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Chiefs and Lions are at the top of the list. The Ravens have slightly better odds still than the Bills, even though Buffalo would be the 2 seed right now. But they still believe in Baltimore because of what Lamar Jackson has done. He's obviously playing at tremendous. A very, very high, very, very high level.
I'm a little bit surprised that the Steelers are as high as they are, given the not necessarily
last couple weeks
criticism, but you look at them scoring 28 against the Commanders, and Russ has played pretty well. George Pickens is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, since Mike Tomlin, more and more proof of how great of a head coach he is. We were critical of the decision as well.
I couldn't understand.
He's the second best coach in the league behind Andy Reid. They're right there.
People in Pittsburgh didn't like the move from Fields back to Russ, and it's obviously clearly was the right decision.
Yep.
It makes it look, Russ's time in Denver even crazier. Like, you couldn't get anything out of him. Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith, Arthur Smith is their OC, is out here making Russ look good again.
I think it helps when your coach isn't screaming at you on every play. Like Sean Payton, you could just tell from the jump, didn't like Russell Wilson at all. I think that whole thing just...
Yeah, they didn't like each other.
It was sour from the beginning.
It was never Sean Payton's guy.
Yeah.
And so half the battle of working with somebody at the quarterback spot is...
Yeah, it makes him look bad.
It does, but I will say the saving grace for him, I guess, at all, is just that Bo Nix has looked pretty competent.
Yeah.
You know, like, if Bo Nix would have stunk as well, then it would have been clear as day, like, no, this is definitely a you problem. It already is rough with what Russ is doing, but I think Bo Nix being decent his rookie year is maybe... help save face a little bit if you're Sean Payton.
I know he hasn't won a Super Bowl in a really long time, too, Mike Tomlin, same to Sean Payton. But, like, the difference in quality and coach to me there is so obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Tomlin has no down years. It doesn't matter if it's Mason Rudolph or some other quarterback you've never heard
He's
of.
He's never missed the playoffs, right?
He's never been below 500.
Yeah.
He's never been below 500 once.
It's crazy.
Once! Andy Reid was below 500 once in Kansas City. Do you know how hard it is to have that level of consistency for that length of time at an NFL level in which you've never, outside of the first 2 years you were a quarterback, had top 10 quarterback
play? Almost just say that's the Steeler way. They only have 3 coaches in their team's history.
Yeah,
it's long tail stuff. It's
patient
crazy.
Organization, the Rooney family, very patient.
Yeah.
Hell of a head coach. It's so weird, though, because you will talk to people that work in Pittsburgh in sports media, and it's everybody acknowledges what you just said, but then at the same time, it's like nobody also thinks like this year's team either is like going to the Super Bowl and winning. It's that weird spot. Like, hey, there's plenty of franchises would kill to have consistent 10 years in a row of playoff appearances, but at the same time, here in the last 5 years, and I don't know if you guys agree for this year, does anybody actually still think the Steelers are going to like an AFC title game or winning a Super Bowl?
I'm happy to have a longer discussion on it, but no.
Super Bowl, probably not, but I don't know. Yeah. The AFC, as long as they keep they've looked better, I think, I would say that's defense not necessarily out of the cards, I guess, at this point.
We'll talk more about this maybe with our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, here in 8 minutes or so. At the tail end of yesterday's show, we alluded to Jerry Jones in some of his comments. I mean, he's every week, he does a radio hit. He's the content he provides is pretty amazing. The latest controversy after another loss for the Cowboys has to do with their stadium, where those afternoon games, man, that sun just comes right through the stadium. And it impacted CeeDee Lamb on one touchdown, what would have been a touchdown catch. And it was very obvious the sun got in his eyes. And you're like, well, this is a simple solution. You know, either way, you know, you should have looked at this when you built the stadium, or like you do for other events, you have the blackout curtains that they can put up. And then when the sun goes down, you can, you know, that's what a lot of stadiums do, certainly for concerts. They've done it at that stadium for concerts, as a matter of fact. Jerry Jones did not want to have a conversation about altering anything with his stadium, even though the sun is also hurting his football team.
So we do know where the damn sun's going to be in our own stadium.
Why not put the curtains up?
Why not mitigate that?
What?
The sun in the stadium's
eyes. Let's just tear the damn stadium down and build another. You're kidding me.
But it's not, you don't have to go that way.
Everybody's got the same thing. Every team that comes in here has the same issues. They know where the sun's going to be. So our team has the same thing.
So is it more on Mike not understanding where the sun is and not calling
us? I'm saying the world knows where the sun is. You get to know that almost a year in advance. So someone asked me about the sun, and
So that's
Jerry. Now look, he is correct. We do know where the sun is, and we do know way in advance where the moon and the sun are going to be on a given night. Uh-huh. Which means when you built the darn stadium, you should have known where the sun was, and maybe not have this giant glass window that was going to be allowing the sun in the afternoon. This is on you. And his comment of like, I guess we just got to tear the whole stadium down. Nobody's saying that. Put up the curtains so your wide receivers can see the football for an hour before the sun goes down or whatever it is there in Dallas. It just add this to another one. Like just an average. Someone's why does Jerry Jones take everything so personally? He's very defensive. He's clearly as the season goes on, I think more and more out of touch that his football team doesn't have a shot. Your starting quarterback is hurt. You guys weren't good before.
That's such
You're
a funny
running Cooper Rush out there, man. Like he still thinks his team has a chance.
According to Jordan Schultz, by the way, a little Chiefs news. Okay. He says the Chiefs are planning to designate Pacheco and Aminihue to return from IR this week.
Okay, so 21 days.
So they got a 21-day window in order to return to the field of play, as you know. That doesn't mean they're playing this week.
No, in fact, I would be stunned.
They are designating both of those players to return, according to Jordan Schultz.
Good. Great sign. Step in the right direction. It could still be three more weeks before we see him, but it's a good...
But you know what? In fairness, I thought it might be Christmas, and at least it eliminates that possibility and puts him more in line with the beginning of December as the latest possible deadline to do it. And Andy Reid did say in his presser yesterday that both of those players were close, but he made it seem like Juju was closer than them. So maybe a good sign that Juju will be back, if not this week, next week.
So maybe that Sunday night football game, Chiefs hosting the Chargers, maybe that's the first game they get everybody back together.
Pacheco,
Sunday night football.
Juju Smith-Schuster on Sunday night football in Kansas City.
Let's do it.
I am interested at least in that. Back on Jerry for a minute. He's crazy old man yells at cloud most of the time. And in this case, he needed a cloud. His team keeps losing touchdowns because the sun keeps hitting them in the eye. Do they need to wear eye black? Is there a solution they can do outside of this? I mean, it is beaming directly in their face. It's like a magnifying glass on an ant, dude. It's a real problem. Just throw the blinds down.
That's all they have to do.
If it's a day game.
And you say, well, the other team deals with it as well. Yeah, but why? It's your stadium. Like, why would you make it more challenging? These opponents play one time. You got eight home games. Why would you want your team to have to deal with it potentially eight times? Obviously, I think this Monday, don't they play a night game? So it won't be a factor when I think they host the Texans this Monday night football.
You think I'm an idiot?
Well, at times, look, you're obviously a very smart businessman. You're raking in the dough. That team store is still packed every Sunday.
You have got to be smoking something over there this morning.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said about you after hearing those comments.
I will say this.
Jerry could probably use a
smoke. Nowhere. And then yesterday, you guys saw Mike McCarthy.
Use a smoke, Cody, that's what you said.
Mike McCarthy had a press conference yesterday, and this was just great. So McCarthy has a presser yesterday in their facility in Frisco, Texas, which is their other nice facility they have. And that room also has a bunch of glass windows. Okay. Well,
this was unbelievable.
The sun was shining through right on the podium on Mike McCarthy. So guess what they did, guys?
Threw a shade up.
They put a shade to cover the sun. So they're willing to do it in the press conference, so Mike McCarthy's not roasting during the presser. But darn it, if they open those black curtains or close the black curtains during a football game, then, man, you just can't do it. Jerry doesn't like that.
So funny.
The day after those comments.
Help your team out a little
also,
bit.
Also, someone say Andy Reid.
Oh, sorry. He was 9-7, not 7-9.
Up next, we'll get to our NFL.
He's been below 500, though.
Our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. When I ask him about what he saw from the Chiefs and if the sun has ever...
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
been a problem for him.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Davante Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our Vin FL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Just a mental lapse on our part. You know, still haven't had time, Vinny, to get that edited, to get that Davante Adams part out of there. I'm sure you don't mind. What's going on?
Not much. I'm just hanging out. Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
What's your general protocol, by the way, for like bad Monday night football games, right? Rams, Dolphins, two teams that don't have winning records, two teams that weren't playing good football. Do you just skip it? What do you do as a guy sitting around on a Monday night?
Well, last night I was playing video games with my friends and watching the game, so I wasn't really watching the game a whole lot. There's always a lot of fantasy football implications on Monday nights, especially when you have, like, I mean, there's a bunch of big names in that game. So it wasn't like Thursday night. I think it was, no, Thursday night was Rams-Bengals, right? Same thing, a bunch of, the Sunday morning game.
That's
nobody has anybody.
Panthers-Giants.
Except for Chuba Hubbard, because he was a sneaky start this week. And he did well. So, yeah. And so did the running back for the Giants, Tyrone Tracy, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
So I guess there was some implications in that game.
We noticed the Royals did put out their early look at some promo items for next year. And it's full of Pasquatch items, man. Do they run these by you? Do you get approval? Do you get a heads up that there's the Pasquatch necklace? I think there's like a, not a teddy bear, but it's like a Pasquatch figurine or something as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I have no idea what's going on in my life because three promos just kind of for me next year is insane. it's insane. So I really appreciate the Royals for doing that because what an honor. That's pretty freaking cool. The chain I knew about. The others I did not know about. But the necklace I did know about. They let me in on that one. So that one will be pretty cool. They're all cool. I don't know. It's really humbling and really cool to have that. And like, I don't know. I'm super appreciative of them for thinking of me in that way. And now I just hope I can go perform on the field to what I would like to perform at. So then we can go win some more games, you know?
Before we ask you more NFL related questions, I wanted you to give us your 30-second pitch on why Bobby Wood Jr. should be the MVP.
I think that's an unfair question because I look at it. I try to look at it from an unbiased point of view, and it's hard to make that argument. just like Bobby's one of my best friends. Like I'm not denying anything, but like Aaron Judge just had another freaking ridiculous year, and so did Bobby. But when you just look at like the OPS stuff, it's hard to argue. When you look at defensive value, that's where Bobby trumps everybody. When you look at defense and base running, I mean, he was the best player in the league. The problem is the MVP typically goes to the best hitter in the league, and
man,
you can't argue with the OPS points that Aaron Judge put up this year. It doesn't mean Bobby didn't have a phenomenal season, but I think I'd love for him to win the MVP. I just don't think it will happen this year.
I respect the honesty. I really do.
Like sorry for anybody in Kansas City who's yelling at me in my car right
nah,
now.
Nah, they're fine.
You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it, you know?
Yeah, that's why we have you on. That's why we love having you on the show. We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. All right, let's talk some NFL. The Chiefs are still undefeated, but the way they made this thing happen on Sunday, block field goal, even the players on the team were saying they really have not been part of something like that since maybe high school. Did you happen to catch the ending of that one?
Yeah, I caught the end of it because I kept looking at my wife and I was like, he's missing this field goal. Like, I don't know what it is, but he's missing this field goal. When they ran all the way to the other side of the field right before it happened, I'm like, I don't know. That just feels like bad juju there. I have no reason to believe that, but I'm not a kicker and I cannot kick a football. I just want to know what the reasoning is behind not wanting to be in the middle of the field. It feels like you have more room to miss if you're in the middle of the field. I know the kick got blocked.
Right.
So like, it doesn't matter. But I'm just I need to talk to a kicker because I just wanted, like, I'm just looking at it realistically. Like, wouldn't I want to be in the middle? Because if I miss left or right, but I guess if you miss left more, you'd want to be, I don't know. But
yeah, I wonder if it's like golf, right? I wonder if it's like golf. Like, you know your swing and your shot. Like, maybe it's like golf. Like, some of these kickers just know where they tend to kick.
And if you line up on the right side, like, you better not miss right. right? Like,
yeah,
you better not, because you could have been in the middle and you could have missed a little right and you could have made it. But
maybe it's a sightline thing, Vinny, like a batter's eye. Maybe it's a sightline related issue.
Could be maybe like a shooter in basketball. Like they like certain sights better than I don't know. I'm so ignorant when it comes to the other sports, but I try to talk about it like I know what it is, but I don't. I have no idea. I'm just talking.
Vinny, now that we're halfway through the season, I do think, can we start getting an official power ranking from you, the top five teams in the league?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I tell you what, if the Chiefs keep winning, they're going to be number one. I know everybody's saying that the Lions are the number one seed, but your record matters to me, and if you're undefeated, you automatically get to be the one seed. So I just want to make that clear before we go into my power rankings. If you're undefeated, you're the one seed.
So it sounds like you got Chiefs 1, Lions 2, and then by next week we'll get you to work out 3, 4, 5.
I think I have the Lions at 2, but I need to talk to my analytical team and see, like, is it more impressive to throw 5 interceptions and win the game, or is it still 5 interceptions?
God,
also, the Texans lost to the Jets, and that's hard to do.
Yeah, where are you at? Where are you at now on your... your Jets last
I'm
week.
I'm not anywhere. Okay. I'm not anywhere. Let's just say this. I was supposed to go to the game this weekend against the Colts. I'm not going anymore. That's where I'm at. Yeah, I got to fly up there, get a hotel. You know, there's a lot that goes in other than just going to a game. And to be honest, like, here's some insight from how I feel about sports. You don't have to be the best, right? You don't have to be the best because it's almost impossible to do. All I ask is that you make your own bed and that you're prepared for games and that you literally try hard. Like, just try. That's all I ask. I don't see that from them right now. They're not even – it doesn't feel like they're trying. And if they get heat from the media, they somehow attack the media. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird environment that you never see, like, really good teams do, and I don't like what I see from them right now.
Yeah, it seems like they're down bad, Vinny. I saw that it was Sauce Gardner, some other players are doing the whole DMing with fans thing, and that seems like it's always a terrible idea.
Well, Sauce has deleted his social media quite a few times, saying that he wants to delete the negativity out of his life, but then he gets back on and he goes after media members and fans. So, which I get. I've deleted my social media before too. Like, when things are going bad, it's tough because all you're seeing is the negative stuff about yourself, pretty much. Like, I grounded into 2 double plays against the Brewers this year, and I'm pretty sure every Royals fan wanted to kill me.
I was gonna ask. I was gonna ask you. Like, yeah, you kind of basically answered the question, but like, how do you handle that? Because I think it's way easier said than done for people to be like, dude, you stay off of social media. I wouldn't be on it. I'm sure that's very difficult to do.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like easiness, I could just put my phone down. but that's not exactly how we live today,
right?
But I think, like, what I do right now is I have Twitter on Safari and I have Instagram on Safari, so I don't have the apps on my phone.
There you go.
That's kind of the best way that I do it. But sometimes you got to mute your own name because, like, that's what I did during the season, just mute my name. Because then I can't really see anything related to me. I'll just see other
Does that stuff. Include Pasquatch?
Yeah, that includes Pasquatch. The thing about having a weird last name is it's the only, like, people aren't just saying, like, the name Pasquantino on Twitter. You're not – or Pasquatch. Like, that's pretty niche. You're not just saying those things. So, yeah, you got to be careful with it, and you just got to roll with it. At the end of the day, people want to cheer you. Like, your own fans want to cheer the Royals, which means they want to cheer you. So if I just go play better, people will cheer.
2 segments will debut next week. Your power rankings, and we'll find any tweet that includes Pasquantino that does not involve you. Like, I'm going to go digging deep for
a minute. Yeah, that'll be a real short segment. I've got some cousins that are on Twitter, so maybe their tweets will show up.
Yeah, we'll find some stuff from them. How do you view one other team I wanted to ask you about? Since you know we got an idea of where you're on the Lions or the Chiefs. How do you feel about the Bills? Most people are kind of big believers. As a Jets fan, you've seen them a couple of times. How good do you think the Bills are?
I think the Bills are very good. I do think the Bills are very good. I mean, they've got a top, whatever you want to call them, quarterback in the league, and that seems to be the most important thing. They play solid defense from what it looks like. Like, I think Sean McDermott does a pretty good job with those guys of keeping them, like, they seem to be in every game. It's just tough. Like, does this game this weekend really matter? Like, as much as it's going to, you know, be talked about, it matters what happens when these two teams play in January. And, like, I think you know, I think the Bills got a shot to win this weekend. But if they win this weekend, who cares? Like, who cares? They're not getting the one seed, it doesn't look like. And so they're going to be coming to Arrowhead at some point in the playoffs. And do you trust them to win then? If they do it then I'll start believing. But until then, I do not believe in them.
Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider. Appreciate it, man. And, yeah, we'll be in search of some of those promo items throughout the 2025 season.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's right. All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go.
See you, Vinny.
Vinny Pasquantino joins us each and every week. Sounds like he knew about one of the promo items. He's like, I didn't. He's like, why?
He knew about the necklace. He had 3-4 items on the list, man.
He has a bunch.
There's like a stuffed animal thing. There's that, like, I mean, just a little bit of everything. I mean, think about it. Those are fun items to have. Yeah. Pasquatch, the Sasquatch, like all that stuff makes for great promotional items. Plus, he's a very likable player. Like, of, you know, the Royals have lots of likable players. I'm sure there's a Bobby Wood Jr. giveaway this year, too. But they also have all the 2015 World
Series.
Yeah,
there's the Hosmer bobblehead. It looks like there's a Hosmer bobblehead or figurine. The Hosmer one's like him shaking a champagne bottle. Like, that's the still shot, if you will, of it.
One Salvi with the goggles on his head, I think.
Yeah, there's some cool items for next year that'll be very, very popular. To head out to Kauffman Stadium. Thinking of Kauffman Stadium, if you were listening to Fesco and Desi this morning, you heard there was an update on what they're hearing, or what Bob is hearing, I should say, on the stadium front for both the Chiefs and the Royals. If you didn't catch that, here's what Bob said a little bit earlier today about what he's hearing on the future homes for both.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. And I think from what the conversations I was having with a lot of people yesterday, this thing is going to move fast and it's going to move quickly. And we're going to know maybe by the winter meetings where the Royals are breaking ground on their new stadium. And I talked to multiple sources on this now. So I have it confirmed from two different folks about what's going on right now in Kansas City, if you will. And I use the air quotes Kansas City on this one, because from what I've been told, the Royals are in real and advanced discussions with the state of Kansas to potentially build their new stadium in Johnson County.
Now, where would that location be?
Well, there are a couple locations that I'm hearing right now. There's a location right inside the 435 loop around Antioch, is what I've been told, is one location. And then the location that I think a lot of people are very fond of is 119th and Knoll on the old Sprint campus. And there, they already have 5 parking garages that exist.
So that's what Bob is hearing this morning, or in the last day or so, I should say, about the stadium front for both the Chiefs and the Royals, more so the Royals, right? That's really interesting. The timeline, for starters, because it makes sense, right, Cody, that winter meetings, this time the season's over.
Sure.
Now you're done with the actual games. Now let's focus back in on the stadium stuff. So that timeline makes more sense. We heard Clark Hunt on the Royals, on the Chiefs side of things, a couple weeks ago mentioned for them, it's going to be more like the spring. But if the Royals, who already know and have already said they're leaving the complex, it's easier for them to be out in front here, perhaps, and decide on their future. I'll admit, I'm stunned by the sights, though. You know, not that they would consider Johnson County. That's been out there.
Yeah, that's not. But, yeah, that's not surprising,
right? Like, even though you and I both prefer downtown baseball,
yes, we've said
that time and time again. We prefer
Crown Center location back.
That, yeah, or anywhere downtown. But yes, the Washington Park
yeah,
or whatever. That was the most recent one. Johnson County location. It's not the first time that's come up. But that's it. 119th and Knoll in particular, I'll be honest, like, that's kind of a stunning spot for me. I'm not saying that that's not what is being told and what sources are saying.
Seems like a really stupid spot. Is that okay to say?
Well,
I hate that spot. It seems dumb and I don't like it.
So it's an established area. That part makes sense. It's an established area, but to plop it down on 119th and Knoll seems like an absolute traffic mess. Just disastrous, if you want to know the truth, that area. Now, there's a lot already there. It's across the street from Town Center, so you already have shops and restaurants. But I thought the whole idea was that the Royals wanted to have some real estate that they own in terms of hotel, condo. I guess that's still a possibility. I mean, the old Sprint campus is a huge site. The other part that Bob mentioned there was they like the parking structures that are already in place. And look, that always becomes an issue. They're on the original Sprint campus. There were 14 parking garages. There are like 5 or 6 left. Each one holds about 1,000 parking spots. So it helps. It's not all the parking that they would need. It helps. I just think that area, that corner is interesting. Yes, it's vacant, and a lot of the Sprint buildings are vacant, and the old Sprint buildings, and whoever owns that wants to get rid of them. I don't doubt that. I'm sure that developer would gladly make this happen. I just wonder, there's another project that's already right next door. You have the J, right? The Jewish Community Center already has their facility there. I'm just saying, like, there's other things on that spot that are kind of interesting that location I find to be fascinating, that's actually one they would consider.
So I don't want to completely dismiss the developer maybe says we want to get rid of this, because I dismissed that a little bit in the Star section. I'm like, that guy just wants to get rid of that building. And that's...
You're right. You're all good over there?
Yeah. That is the site that they inevitably chose. So, like, they weren't totally against working in that capacity. Baseball should not be in suburbs. Football, fine. I don't care. Like, it can go as far as the Legends or anywhere else in this city. If it goes to the suburbs, it kind of creates this issue. I will say that if part of their liking of this site is that parking garages don't exist, that is the dumbest, most idiotic, stupid reason to choose a site I've ever heard. Because parking garages already exist. Just build them. They're not that complicated from a structure standpoint. Just build them wherever you put the stadium. And I know that they got plenty of people on an exit poll telling them parking matters to them. Stop it.
And it does matter.
I need you all to stop talking about it if they're going to choose a site based on the idea that there are already parking garages there.
Yeah, I mean, look at it. They clearly like that aspect. I think it's part of the solution and part of it. I doubt that's like the reason they like the site. I think it sounds like, from what Bob was saying, that's one aspect they liked. We're talking like 5,000 spots. I mean, there used to be 14 parking garages there. And there's other, like, just because we call it the Old Spring Campus, there's other businesses that are there. As someone pointed out on the text line too earlier, you know, there's, I think Hill's Pet Nutrition just moved in there. Like, there's other businesses that are in that spot as well. That gets back to the whole displacing business thing and who, I don't know the exact number.
I just don't think you can build a stadium without doing that almost.
Correct. That spot though, like right in the middle of established, like Leawood or whatever, that's just a fascinating location. I think if anybody that lives in I guess Overland Park is where that side, that corner would be Overland Park, right? That area is in rush hour already, just a complete mess. I'm just trying to fathom what that looks like on a game day for the Royals. And it wouldn't necessarily be eminent domain. So like some of those businesses, and I keep mentioning the J in particular, I don't believe, you can say the dollar amount, everybody has a price. I find it hard to believe that would actually be feasible for everybody.
I honestly, genuinely don't think the Royals know. Like, you want to know the truth? I think they're flirting with Kansas because they're not sure, and they're trying to make sure that, because, like, if we had Mayor Lucas on the show today, I bet he'd tell you he's still pretty confident.
Of course.
Teams are gonna stay here in Kansas City.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he has reason to be optimistic.
Yeah, and so, like, do I think both teams are going to Kansas right now? No. I don't think the Chiefs are making their decision until spring. They pretty much straight up told us that a month ago. Yeah. So, I mean, they told us. The Royals have always been ahead in their timeline because they have told them from the beginning, we are not staying in that building forever. Do I think it's a scare tactic? Nah, it's probably a little too strong a language. I don't think they're just threatening to threaten anymore. I thought that was the original Royals plan. I was like, well, we can always go to Kansas. Once the vote failed, and this is what you and I talked about in the air, Royals in Kansas were not off the table anymore. I didn't think that was ever a serious thing until it didn't pass. When it didn't pass, okay, books open. We'll take some calls in other areas. I just don't like that spot. I'm allowed to not like spot. Like, for the most part, all the spots so far, I'd most been fine. Would I preferred East Village to the one they chose over by T-Mobile? Yeah. Did I like the North Kansas City, like, rendering better than some? Sure did. I just don't like the 119th and Null location. I want baseball closer to the middle of the city because of the 81-game aspect. I don't think anyone cares if they have to drive 30 minutes out of town to go to a Chiefs game, fundamentally, or
baseball,
shouldn't
it's different.
Care, because it is 8 times, maybe 10, over a 4-month time period. I mean, it's a pretty small amount you're asking people to go out of their way to drive it. It's a whole day affair anyway. Baseball, you need people to walk up daily.
I'm not surprised they're interested in Johnson County, though. We've brought that up before over the last, year and a half or 2 years. And going back to season ticket holder bases for both teams and where a majority of the fans are coming from. I know it upsets people on the Missouri side whenever I bring up the Chiefs numbers, obviously, on it, and like over half of the season ticket holder base being on the Kansas side and things like that. The Royals obviously have a much smaller season ticket holder base, and hopefully it continues to grow for them. But there's a lot of fans that are coming over there. And if you're trying to figure out how, or you want to get families to go to these baseball games, the suburbs, I can understand the logic. I prefer downtown baseball, but I'm with you. Like, selfishly, 119th and Nall, not far from me. That's an easy drive.
Real close.
I just think that area from a traffic perspective and just overall the entire spot is crazy. Morning, and I know Bob and Dusty thought it was funny that I was trying to look at a map on where exactly the location looks like. I just like to, you know, be knowledgeable when I'm talking about certain things with stadiums.
If we're talking, like, if you say parking is actually a really big part of it, isn't just thinking about the area where they wanted it originally downtown. There's plenty of parking garages downtown where there's, it's not like you have to, you know, there's not a problem with parking garages downtown, or there's not a problem with parking in downtown compared to the location on Nall. Like, it's not like the convenience of parking garages is already there downtown. I would think, unless there's not as many parking garages, I guess, downtown. I know there's a couple over by T-Mobile.
There's
not
always, that far of a walk. Dude, I'll show you a map if you want, Drew, because this is the problem.
Just from being downtown, there's plenty of them.
There is a crazy amount of parking.
Yeah, like, I know.
A crazy. There are way more spots already than you realize.
100%.
Downtown. And I get like 913 saying like, hey, driving 30 minutes by the same suburbs, it'd be closer to majority of their fan base. For the Chiefs, I agree. I don't actually have, that's generally been, it's not publicly released data. The general theory is that there's evidence to support that a little better than 50% of Chiefs season ticket member bases are in Johnson County. The Royals season ticket base, that has been released in a really long time. I can't tell you where a percentage of it. All I'm telling you is downtown is pretty much 20 minutes from everyone in the city. Whether you live near the airport or you live where Gold does, you can get downtown in about 20 minutes.
Well, I like what you said.
So, downtown baseball is just like, and there's more office space, more people who worked at all those other things.
I was going
to
say, the
not
fact
there isn't in Johnson County.
There's more things to do where you like you said it, Cody, people just walk up and go to a game. There's things to do downtown where you're like, you know, we're going to be downtown anyways. Why not get a ballpark ticket and we can go to a Royals game instead of just sitting out at the bar. Or you can just go hang out at the bar. Like, there's things to do enough where a Chiefs game is a day thing. You can make the Royals games into a day thing, essentially. Yeah.
We'll see. The 435 and Antioch one makes more sense, but even that doesn't seem as far south as I guess I thought they would go with it.
Yeah, everybody was thinking more like 159th whenever anybody talked about Johnson County. True. Also, let's not forget there still was the, even though it's been focused more on the Chiefs and Wyandotte County, even the Speedway makes a little bit more sense. But we'll see ultimately how this plays out. This will, of course, not be the last update that we get. And keep in mind, with no matter where the information comes from on this stuff, some of it always is being used as leverage publicly for certain people involved in the situations. Like, you never know exactly where that message is trying to be delivered, right? From anybody that wants to talk, right, and give information. You just don't know, like, what's the thought of that. When the Washington State Park thing came out, like, that,
there's a
reason, that leaked out. Like, that wasn't just by accident. Somebody was trying to do that for a reason, one way or the other, leverage or otherwise. Up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour, talk a little bit more about the Chiefs, one thing that has to happen on Sunday, and one thing that looks like it's going to happen for the NFL moving forward.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.